The first reading for today comes from Daniel 7, verses 9 through 14. That is from the prophet Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. You can find that on page 828 in the Old Testament, in the Pew Bible in front of you. Here the prophet Daniel tells of judgment that will come, which will be marked by Jesus being given a kingdom that will last forever. Listen now to God's word to you today. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A steam of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I watched then because of the noise of the arrogant words that the horn was speaking. And as I watched, the beast was put to death, and its body destroyed, and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and kinship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed.
Well, this Sunday we do gather first and foremost to speak to the power and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of our lives, there are sometimes, many times, events that take place that shape our understanding of our own faith. Sometimes those events that happen in our lives strengthen our faith. Other times, those events shake our faith to its very core. No matter which way it goes, those events force us to rethink what's the core. What's the foundation of who we are and what we believe? What in life makes, what in our life is unshakable, not subject to attack at all? What in our life is unchanging and unfading? So it's during those times that maybe our faith is challenged that we definitely feel vulnerable, but hopefully we also feel the need to redefine and find our true foundation. It is in those times when we feel pressed that the words of Psalm 46, we're going to be looking at a few scriptures again this morning, but Psalm 46 tells us, and it gives us comfort and a sense of security and roots us in the words of Scripture. As it tells us, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Guess what we're looking at the Apostles' Creed today? Today we are looking, and you have a visual in front of you of a gavel. And it's not just any old gavel. This is the gavel of John G. Homsher, thank you. John G. Homsher, who was the president of the Pennsylvania Senate, died in 1938 while in office, and this is his gavel. And whenever we think of a gavel, what do we think of? Judgment, right? That's where we're at. where we read in the Apostles' Creed and we recite every Sunday, sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. What we're going to find today in 2 Timothy is that he helps us to recognize that at any moment an account of our lives could be asked. Any moment. At any moment, Jesus Christ, the one who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, could come to judge and the quick and the dead. So what does that mean as far as our faith now? If we haven't been pressed and if we haven't asked the question of how does my faith define my life, I pray and I hope that today we will. Let's go ahead and let's read that scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul is writing and he states, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time will come, or the time is coming, when people will not put up with sound doctrine. But having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. But as for you, always be sober. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. But as for me, Paul states, I am already being poured out as a sacrifice or a libation. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And from now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not just to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now you may have heard these verses before, and if you did hear them before, my guess is that you heard them at a funeral service. More often than not, I use these verses to encourage and uplift those who are going through times when they have just lost a loved one. And those words that resonate, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, are words that bring back and elicit certain memories. In fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, he knew that he was at the end of his life. He was in prison, and he knew that he didn't have a lot of days ahead of him. That pretty soon an account of his life was going to be required as he faced his Maker. How wonderful it would be to be able to be like Paul and look back over on our lives and say, in essence, you know what? I've done everything that I could possibly do for the cause of Christ in my life. Boy, it'd be so nice knowing that my days are numbered. I just have a few more days, but as I look back at my legacy, I can't help but think I've done everything I could possibly do for the kingdom of God. That's what Paul's doing here. His reflection, as he begins in verse 1, let's go ahead and look at those verses. We're going to make our way through. It begins in verse 1 by saying that Jesus Christ, when judgment day comes, Jesus is going to be the one who judges. That's a key part of what the Apostles' Creed describes as what the Apostles' Creed talks about, and also what Scripture describes as well. Who is the one who's going to judge us on judgment day? Scripture tells us very clearly it's going to be Jesus Christ. he states that Christ is, and look at that first verse. He states, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. You know, it's good news that it's Jesus who's going to be the one who judges us. First of all, when we talk about in the Apostles' Creed that he will judge the quick and the dead, that word quick, you need to substitute it with living, okay? It's not like there's going to be a foot race when we get to heaven. And those of you who may not be as nimble or as fast as the rest of others, you're not going to make it in. Sorry, that's not the sense of the Apostles' Creed. Really, what we find here is that Paul is stating that Jesus Christ, the one we've just been talking about throughout this whole time in the Apostles' Creed, the one who suffered under Pontius Pilate, the one who was crucified, dead, and buried, the one who experienced everything that we've been through in our lives as well, the one who completely knows us inside and out, he's the one who's going to be judging us. And that's good news. Because you know what the alternative is? What Sandy read in chapter 7 of Daniel. That guy could judge us. Go to Daniel 7. Who is that guy? That guy in Daniel 7 who's seated on a fiery throne, who has white hair, who then fire proceeds from him, he's described as the Ancient of Days. He's a little scary. When you read through that scripture, he's not the one you probably want to come before, right? If we had a choice between the Ancient of Days on the throne or Jesus, this Advent season that we lift up as the one that we can't wait for to come and take us home, who was born in the manger, I'm guessing any one of us would choose that on Judgment Day, boy, we want that manger baby to judge us, right? Not that fiery white-haired guy, with all due respect to you fiery white-haired guys out there. The Apostles' Creed is clear. It states, from thence he shall come, he shall judge the quick and the dead. So when we talk about Judgment Day, the Apostles' Creed says from thence, which means from there. Where's there? You got to go a phrase before that. Where's Jesus seated? We talked about it last week. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, which means he has all that power and all the might that God the Father Almighty as well. So from that position of power, of rule and authority, Jesus is going to judge. That's how Paul begins in the first verse. We're back now in 2 Timothy in the first verse of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. He begins it that way. But then he goes on and he says, you know, Judgment Day also requires that we're ready here on this earth. And a part of being ready, a part of being able to face Judgment Day, if you look at verse 2, is knowing that you've done what verse 2 says we ought to do. What does verse 2, the first words of verse 2, what does it say we ought to do? Proclaim that message. It doesn't sound like a Judgment Day sermon, does it? Preaching the gospel, that doesn't have anything to do with Judgment Day, does it? Well, it does in Paul's view. Because he's able to look back on his life as he knows Judgment Day is imminent and say, you know, I feel good about where I am because I know that I have proclaimed the message. No matter what the circumstance, preach the gospel, is what Paul tells us. How do we carry that out? What would that look like? Do each one of us here believe? Do we believe that we have some answers that we can share with those around us, especially those around us who are looking for stability in their lives? Do we have some answer for them? Do we have a way in which we can tell them, I know what you're going through, but I know someone who can walk alongside you and come with me on Sunday and let me introduce you to my Savior, Jesus Christ? Do we feel confident enough in this church? Do we feel confident enough to bring people knowing that they will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that will impact them and give them enough to face their daily lives? Do we feel that confidence? How many of us talk to our neighbors that we know are hurting, that we know have nowhere to turn? That's what Paul's talking about, preaching the gospel, and say to them, come and join me, because you're going to hear good news, and I think you need good news right now. Every single person who comes to the First Presbyterian Church ought to be able to tell a hurting friend that Jesus has seen their hurt, that Jesus has seen me through difficult times, and I know that he'll be able to see you through difficult times as well. That's proclaiming the message. If we're able to do that, that means we're ready for Judgment Day. What does the converse mean? If we don't feel comfortable with that, then what does that say about our relationship with our judge, with Jesus Christ? You know, we are living now in a time more than ever that God has put right before us people who are desperately searching for truth, a truth that will set them free. Jesus, we know, calls himself the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And people now more than ever are aware of their mortality. If you don't believe that, or if you don't think that's true, you don't have to go far from our own congregation to know that that's true. Just this week alone, we've had two members of our church who have lost their father. This week alone, we have a member of our church who walked out of her front door, was struck by a car, and continues now to cling to life in critical care in the hospital. We never know from one day to the next what the Lord will require of us. And in this day and age, more than any other day and age, if we are going through it as a family, don't we know that those around us in this community are going through it as well? God gives us an opportunity to be able to share the gospel with them. Paul certainly felt that that was the case. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9:16, if you want to turn there very quickly, 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul states, woe to me if I do not preach. Again, this is all a precursor to Judgment Day. It's part of who we need to be so that we can face Judgment Day with confidence. And he continues in 2 Timothy, I'm making you do biblical gymnastics, but you can keep up, I'm sure. He continues in this same scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that convenience does not diminish the necessity of preaching. So often we feel like we have to wait for the perfect time for our neighbor to be ready to hear the gospel. Otherwise, I don't want to go down that road. But who are we to choose when God will pierce the hearts of those that we love with the gospel message? A doctor doesn't let, or at least shouldn't let, the patient choose when to excise the cancer, life-threatening tumor. It's done now. It's done immediately. Paul goes on, talking about Judgment Day, saying that in those days, times will come when people will be tired of sound doctrine and will have itchy ears for that which is appealing. There's no other time than today where we see that being the case. We find ourselves smack dab in that time as people base their beliefs and their doctrine on experience, as opposed to the Word of God. You know, when Judgment Day comes, God isn't going to judge us on our doctrine. He's going to judge us on the relationship that we have with His Son. What kind of relationship? How do you know my Son, Jesus Christ? That's how we will be judged. But what Paul tells us in these verses about doctrine is what a waste it will be in our own lives to follow the convenience of a culture and continue to ride that wave of culture as opposed to the freeing power of the gospel. That come Judgment Day is going to be revealed as the Word of God. So Paul states at the end, those verses, the time of my departure has come. We don't know when our time will be, but we do know that we will probably never know. I love the Greek in that term. The time of my departure has come. The literal Greek is, the time to pack up my tent and go has come. If today, Judgment Day, were to come, could we say that we've lived our lives fully devoted to Christ in Christ's work through the body that we call the church? Each one of us needs to face our own spiritual need and commit ourselves to God and His will right now. That's what Advent's all about. It's about preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord. And what's the coming of the Lord if not Judgment Day? Now, a lot of us, I would even dare to venture, most of us, when we think of Judgment Day, we think of Daniel 7. And we're fearful because we envision that fiery throne. We see the gavel in front of us, but we miss the manger. Scripture tells us that it's going to be our Savior who meets us. So we should not be afraid. Because Paul states that we should be longing for His appearance. If we're afraid of Judgment Day, if we're sitting this Sunday here in church and we're afraid of Judgment Day, then maybe we aren't perfectly assured of our salvation. I have good news for you today. It's news you've heard before, but let's put it within the context of Judgment Day. If Jesus Christ is your foundation, if you love Him, and He is your Lord and Savior, then your salvation is assured. As Presbyterians, we believe that you cannot lose your salvation. Nothing can separate you from God for those who trust in Him. Paul, when he was speaking in Athens, one last scripture, y'all ready? Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. If you're visiting here today, please know that this church loves the Bible. Loves Jesus more, of course, but loves to read through Scripture. Don't you hear those pages turning? I love that. When Paul is speaking out to the people in Athens, he states, while God overlooked the times of human ignorance, those times when we focused on experience rather than the Word of God, now He commands all people everywhere to repent. Because He has fixed a day on which He will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. Let me tell you who that man is. And of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. The Apostles' Creed today tells us, from thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. You know, our life, our way of life is changing. You feel it, don't you? You feel that what's happening around us in our culture, in our nation, things are changing. But let me assure you that 2,000 years ago, they changed more definitively than they will ever change for us in history. And even if our American way of life continues to change, and it will, and it makes us feel very uncomfortable, it makes us unsettled and unsure, for some of us, that way of life may be more important than our way of life with our Savior, and it shouldn't be. Because that way of life with our Savior is ultimately the decisive factor on Judgment Day. Hopefully, we will be able to realize through Paul's words and the words of Scripture that because of that change that took place 2,000 years ago, our fabric as people is not made up of what's happening around us or who we associate ourselves with, but rather at the core of a Christian is freedom. At the core of a Christian, I didn't say any nationality, I said at the core of who we are is freedom. Freedom that we find in Christ Jesus. So are we finishing the race strong? But more importantly than even that, have we kept the faith? Because nothing else matters on Judgment Day. Let us pray. Loving God, we do come before you today. And we recognize that it is in Jesus and Jesus alone where we find our true selves. Strip away from us today anything that may cause us to distract our vision from Him to other issues or other realities in which we face ourselves. As we think of Judgment Day, help us to recognize that you, our Savior Jesus Christ, will be the one who calls on us. And you've already shown us how much you love us by dying on that cross. You've already shown us the extents to which you will go to bring us to your side. Help us trust you again. We pray this now in Jesus' loving name. Amen.